series today titled God with Us. We're talking about Christmas. We're talking about the birth of Jesus. And there's two verses in your sermon listening guide. I want us to read those together. Let's do that. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. If God is for us, who can be against us? Two verses, one in Matthew, one in Romans. Here's what it says. When Jesus was born, his name was Emmanuel. The word Emmanuel means God is with us. Then in the book of Romans, Paul says, if God is for us, who can be against us? Now, the big idea for the entire series throughout December into Christmas Eve is this. It's in your notes, and I'll have Jake put it on the screen. When you and I know that a loving, all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present God is with us and for us, it brings us empowerment into our lives. The whole theme of the next few weeks is this. The difference maker is when we understand that Jesus, who was born into humankind, God himself in the flesh, he's with us, and not only that, he's for us. It gives something that I'll call empowerment that we can think about today and tomorrow, because the eternal loving God, all-powerful, all-knowing, and all-present, is with us and he's for us. So today is all about hope. Hope. And Abby and Maddie read about that through the Advent reading. And there's a verse in Romans chapter 15, verse 13. In your notes, let's read it together. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to lift one phrase out of that. God wants your life to overflow with something called hope. He wants your life to be filled with it. He wants it so much so that it abounds in your life and literally is overflowing and touching other people's lives. We're going to talk about that today. Let me explain the word hope. Short definition, it means a confident expectation. God wants his children to be confident as we journey through life in what we are expecting and believing, not only for today, but for tomorrow. Got a question for you. How is your confident expectation level today? Answer it to yourself. In other words, God wants you to overflow with something that gives you empowerment. You know why? He's with us and he's for us. And when we embrace those truths, life can change on the inside for us. I want to share a story about two guys who were lifelong friends that were commercial fishermen. One's name is John Aldridge. And the other was Anthony Sosinski. They were commercial fishermen. And they've been fishing for many years together. And one night, they took off from Montauk, Long Island. They went 40 miles offshore. They have a 44-foot fishing boat. Here's what happened. The one guy was tired, Anthony, so he went to the lower deck to sleep. The other guy was on the top deck. And the boat was on autopilot, so they were just motoring along. There was a large ice cooler, or cooler of some kind, that John wanted to move. And so he took either a stick or a rod, and he hooked it onto the end of this large cooler, and he began to pull on it. What happened was the handle on the cooler broke, and because of the pressure he had built up, he was plunged off the boat into the water. Now, he didn't have a life jacket, and he began to scream and yell for help. The thing was, his buddy was in the lower part of the deck sleeping. John figured this was it. he would die that night. It was dark. He did not have a life jacket. And he began to think, what am I going to do? And he had a pair of boots on. And he realized there was some flotation with his feet, but he took his boots off, emptied the water, and then he put them under his arms as a flotation device. That gave him some real hope in the moment. So here's a guy in the dead of night. He's in the water. His buddy is still sleeping. There's nobody around. He can't call anybody. And he's got two boots under his arm, and he's just treading water. It wasn't long after that that he saw a couple sharks about 15 foot away. And he thought, well, maybe this is the end. But the sharks didn't come after him. He set a goal. He said, I'm going to try and make it till morning, the sunrise. And so he's treading water for all this time, and the sun starts to come up. And John looked off in the distance, and he saw a buoy. And so he began to swim toward it. And when he got to it, he clung to it. So as time went on, of course, his buddy woke up 4 hours later. And the buddy comes up on the top side of the boat, and there's no friend, no John. He figured out what happened because he saw the broken handle on the cooler. And so what he did, he called the Coast Guard, and he said, you know what? My friend's missing. I don't understand it, but he's gone. The Coast Guard launched a search and began to go all over. They had a large area they wanted to comb, and so they dispatched a helicopter. They eventually found John clinging to a buoy with his boots, and they lowered a basket. You know how they do that? And somebody went down with it. They put John on it. John said to the guy from the Coast Guard said this, we've been looking for you for 9 hours. And John says, I've been looking for you for 12. The guy was rescued, and they brought him to safety. And he said there were two things that saved his life. One was a positive attitude. He said he thought about his loved ones, and that gave him motivation to just try and stay alive, even though it seemed unlikely he would even live. The second thing was, he said his boots were used as a flotation device, and that pretty much saved his life. When you think about a story like that, he needed hope to endure that, those few hours where he was separated. And you may be here today, and you may feel like the only thing you have under you is a couple of boots, and you're just trying to keep your head above water. The boots are the promises of God. And you're trusting God for a circumstance that is beyond your ability. It's beyond your power to make a difference. And you're just hanging on. And you know what you're waiting for? You're waiting for a rescue. That's where God steps into our lives and does something so distinct and so definite that he lifts us up out of whatever the circumstance and delivers us. The issue is his timetable, not ours. But I want to talk about hope today. John continued to grasp for hope, and using his boots and a positive attitude, found a buoy, hung on until the rescue happened for him. This Christmas, we're celebrating the one who can bring us the rescue. And in your notes, Isaiah 9:6, there's an amazing prophecy of the names of Jesus when he would be born. And I want us to read that together. And we're going to talk about the hope that each of these names give us. So let's read together Isaiah 9:6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. When we understand that God is with us and for us, we find hope in the midst of our struggles. I want to take these four titles, and I just want to unpack what they mean to us personally in finding hope going forward. Let's get started. Number one, as a wonderful counselor, he wants to direct you. Now, the words wonderful and counselor in some commentaries connect the two together, and it means that he's wonder, it's a wonder of his counsel. He knows how to direct people. But a counselor is one who advises. You may be here today, and you're trying to figure out a big next step in your life. You know what you need? You need a counselor. And when you understand that Jesus coming into the world, when we make him a part of our life, he directs us. He shows us the path we should take, and he shows us the path we shouldn't take. And it's godly guidance. It's a GPS navigation system. Read with me Psalm 32:8 in your notes. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. Here's the great promise. If you are hungry or searching for direction, wisdom, guidance, the promise of God is this. It says he will instruct you, he will teach you, and he will counsel you or advise you and watch over you. Now, on the back side of your sermon listening guide, key verses from Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Let's read them. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Back to the question. Are you in a place where you need direction? What choice, what path do I take? What is my future? Should I take this job or this job? There is one. His name is Jesus, who will direct you. And the key, the insight is this. In all your ways, acknowledge him. You know what that means? You spend time in his presence asking him, Lord, I need you to direct my life. I need you to guide my ship. Show me your path. What roadway or highway should I take? I'll have Jake put up this next quote. God does not guide those who want to run their own life. I just have to say this. If we decide to be the sole captain of our life, I will make the decisions I think is best for me. Here's what's going to happen. God will say, okay, I can't guide and direct you. You are the one in control. And the result can be potentially our own shipwreck of sorts. All of us know that when we've made decisions that we thought were best for us, it basically fell apart or backfired. On the other hand, if we give God that opportunity, here's what he says. He will direct us. Go to the next one, Jake. God will direct those who take the time to ask. Do you realize that God as a father delights when his children come to him and ask for guidance? If you're a parent today, you know exactly what this is all about. You love it when your kids or grandkids come to you and say, Mom, Dad, Grandpa, Grandma, what do you think? You know what's hard on a parent or grandparent? Is when the kids get to an age where they don't need your advice anymore. Isn't that true? It hurts. God delights to direct his children if we just ask him. We come before him. We acknowledge him and say, God, help steer my life. Direct it. I will need you to go before me. All right. He's a wonderful counselor. Number two. The second title is this. As a mighty God, he wants to rescue you. He's a mighty God. Now, this passage is from Exodus 3, 7, and 8. It's about Moses and God calling him, but let's read together these verses. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians, to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Here's the context. The children of Israel have been in bondage for 400 plus years. And God says, I have seen their misery. You know what this means? If you have misery in your life today, he sees it. And he goes on to say, I'm concerned. God has a concern for the pain and the heartache we have in our lives. He's touched by it. And then he goes on to say this, so I, God, have come down to rescue. Circle the word rescue. Rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians. Now here's what rescue means. It means to deliver. It means to be drawn out from the peril. It means to be snatched. You're here today, and maybe that's you. You're floating with a couple of boots. You're hanging on to the promises of God the best you can. It's keeping you above water. And what you need is a rescue. You need to be snatched or drawn out of the peril. God is in that business. It's something we can't do for ourselves. It's only what he does for us. We have to walk it forward in faith, and there will come a time, a point, where he will rescue you, deliver you, set you free. Just like the guy in the water, he treaded water for about 12, 14 hours, but there became a point where he was rescued. He was plucked out of the sea. Here's a verse, Psalm 55, 16. Let's read it together. I will call on God, and the Lord will rescue me. Let me stop right here. Do you need to be rescued today? We all do at some time. I've had to be rescued many times. But the point is this, a mighty God who, through Jesus, he's there to rescue us in our times of need. All right, so number one, wonderful counselor, he directs us. Number two, he's a mighty God. He can rescue and deliver us. Number three, as an everlasting father, he wants to love you. He wants to love you. Now, read with me Romans 8, 15 and 16 in your notes. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you receive the spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. Now the word Abba is a very intimate label or term for the, in the Arabic language, of who the father was. And so it's like daddy or papa. It's an affectionate, dependent relationship. And Paul says, we can call our Father in heaven, Abba, Father. I read a story about a pastor, his name was Ed, and he got a call one day in his cell phone, and he heard noises on the other end, nothing intelligible, but it brought a smile to his face. Now here's what happened. His granddaughter, 2 years old, had got a hold of his mother's phone. And so somehow the grandchild pushed a few buttons and it dialed grandpa. So he answers the phone. He heard breathing and a bunch of unintelligible whatever, but he knew who it was. It was a grandchild. And you know what it did? It warmed his heart, put a smile on his face, even though there was no intelligent conversation. He knew it. He knew it was his grandchild. When you and I come into God's presence, it puts a smile on his face. You know why? You're one of his children. He's an everlasting Father. Abba, Father, Daddy. Very intimate term. And God is delighted when any person here spends time in his presence just to connect with him. And the Father is so delighted. So number three, when Jesus was born, he became an everlasting Father to love us, affirm us. And we receive the spirit of sonship or daughtership. We're his children. And because of that, we have this intimate relationship with him, and he loves on us. All right. Finally, number four. The fourth title that Isaiah gives Jesus many hundreds of years before he was born is the Prince of Peace. Number four, as the Prince of Peace, he wants to impart a sense of completeness to you. Now, read with me John 14:27. Little typo in the first phrase, but we'll make it through it. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. I want to talk about peace. Peace is the inner calm in our soul that we feel okay about life when the world is so turbulent around us. Jesus said he's in the business of giving people his peace. Now, we think of peace as the inner rest of the soul. But let me expand it. It also means this. It means wholesomeness. It means completeness. Now, what does that mean? He takes all the different parts of our inner world and begins to join them together. There's a sense of completeness about our life. There's wholesomeness. There's a sense of unity within. All the essential parts are joined together. That's what he wants to do for each of us. Now, as the Prince of Peace, he's the captain. He's the ruler. He's the sovereign one. He's the one that can dispense peace. He's the one that's the author of it. As a matter of fact, in Isaiah says, the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. It will just continue to go on. He wants to give a part of that peace to each of us. Completeness. I've come to realize that oftentimes we expect other people to complete our life. Now, in some ways they do. They're complementary, right? Husband, wife, kids, parents, friends, relationships, they're a huge asset, are they not? But listen, don't expect other people to totally and fully complete you. The end result, you get very frustrated. You know why? People disappoint us. And when, especially in marriage or relationships, listen, we got to understand God will use them to bless us, but the secret is this: your completeness, your wholesomeness, your sense of everything being tied together is found in the one who is with us and for us. It's an individual deal. Find your best sense of wholeness and completeness first in Christ. And if other people add to that, awesome. That's a blessing. It's a plus. But don't misdirect expectations on other people, to which only can be given through Christ himself. I'll have Jake put his slide up. Made complete in Christ. You may be here this morning, and the one who is with us and for us, Jesus himself, wants to bring completeness into your life so that you feel like all the parts inside you are somehow knit together, they're joined together, and there's a sense of healing and wholeness. And it takes time. It's a journey through life for this to happen. But the Prince of Peace, Jesus himself, is the one that can do that for us. So four simple thoughts. When you think about hope, you think about this guy by the name of John who spent all this time in the water and he thought he was going to die, and He has boots as a flotation to keep him above the water. The rescue finally came. And so the promises of God keep our head above water. Number one, he's a wonderful counselor. You need direction? Just go before him and ask him. He says he'll counsel us, direct us, and advise us. Number two, I love this one. He's a mighty God. You know what a mighty God does? He rescues us. And there are rescues that only he can give to any of us that we can't give to ourselves or to other people. He's the divine rescuer from our sin, from ourself, from situations in life. Number three, everlasting Father. He just wants to love you. Spend time, you know, like that little two-year-old girl and her granddaughter calls the grandpa and just nothing was said, but the Father's heart was warm. Understand, the one who is with you and for you delights it when you spend time in his presence, and you don't even have to say a word. Number four, Prince of Peace. Jesus is with us and for us to bring this sense of completeness into our life, tying all the different pieces on the inside together. And over time, it just gets better and better. One concluding slide. Here it is. Never lose hope. Just when you're ready to give up, God will send you a miracle. Don't lose hope. Hang in there. Keep believing. Keep trusting. Because God at some point will come through and bring the complete rescue. Let's bow for prayer. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I want you to check your hope gauge. How hopeful are you this morning? God wants you to overflow with it. Why? He's with us and he's for us. Even when we feel like we're swimming in deep waters, just keeping our head above water. I'm going to lead us in a simple prayer. And it's a prayer just allowing Jesus to direct us. And you can pray it silently after me, and then I'll have a closing prayer. Father, thank you that you love me. Forgive me for trying to do life apart from you. I confess all my sins. I believe that Jesus died and rose again, and he's alive forevermore. Right now, by faith, I open the door of my heart, and I invite Jesus Christ into my life, or I recommit my life to him. May he be my Savior. May he be my Lord. From this moment forward. If there's anybody here that prayed that for the first time, would you put your hand up and put it down? Anybody ask Christ in their life for the first time? There's one. Anybody else? Father, thank you for this amazing group of people. And I pray your blessing upon them this Christmas season. Lord, that we'll be empowered because you are with us and for us, and you want us to be winners in life. You want us to overcome. You want us to conquer. You want hope to overflow from within. And so I pray that the next 4 weeks during the month of December, we will pace ourselves. We will prioritize you. And Lord, you will direct our lives in such a way that hope overflows just because we know that you're with us and you're for us. And you live in us. For this we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.